You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Criminals recruit insiders and the black market trades insider information. Cisco studies the cost and causes of data breaches, the internet as an R&D resource for threat actors, and happy Groundhog Day. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. The iPyramid campaign, whose alleged perpetrators are now facing prosecution in Italian court, is thought to have been aimed at gaining illicit trading advantages, and the people behind that spyware aren't alone in looking for inside information. Many criminals, however, are attempting to recruit insiders directly in various dark web forums. Researchers at Red Owl and Intsights have just released a report on recruitment of insiders by criminal traders. They describe such recruiting as active and growing, with dark web forum discussions of it nearly doubling from 2015 to 2016. An effective black market that enables rogue insiders to readily monetize what they know about their companies. It's not always direct reporting either. Some of the more sophisticated criminals are inducing compromised insiders to install spyware into corporate internal networks. Some criminals appear to be selling the information to their members as opposed to using it directly themselves. The information on offer can be used for trading stocks, commodities, and foreign currencies. The promise is that you, the member, will know what's happening before the rest, the old promise of trading tipsters ever since stocks began being traded. Red Owl and Intsights take a detailed look at one forum with the demonic name Kickass Marketplace, whose impresarios do a good imitation of an aggressive retail discount site, advertising accounts, dumps, CVVs, and more, and inviting potential forum members to apply for an interview today. The insider trading racket is lucrative, at least according to the crooks managing the Kickass market. They say their members make more than $5,000 a month on illegal trades. Take that with a proverbial grain of salt, but there may be something to it, since the forum managers charge a 1 Bitcoin cover fee for membership. That's just under $1,000. Another interesting report released this week is Cisco's 2017 Annual Cybersecurity Report. It focuses on breaches, why they occur, and what their true costs are. Breaches have become so lucrative an opportunity for criminals that we're seeing, Cisco says, a tremendous resurgence in classical compromise techniques, especially adware and spam. Spam in particular has surged to levels not seen since 2010, some 65% of worldwide email traffic, according to Cisco. Cisco is also seeing the sort of professionalized black market Red Owl and Insights found when they looked at insider recruitment. In particular, Cisco is struck by the way attackers mirrored the middle management of their targets. The effects of a breach on a business can be considerable. 22% of companies that suffered a breach lost customers as a result, and almost half of the ones who did lost more than a fifth of their customer base. Some organizations find the process of running an IT operation daunting and expensive and choose to outsource their IT. Vadim Vladimirsky is CEO of Adar Incorporated, provider of Nerdio streaming IT services.
There are these core five things that every business that relies on any kind of IT leverages, and they are, you know, the servers that generally host the data. They're the desktops, which is the end user sort of mission control. That's where they run their applications and write their emails and things like that. But then there's, in every environment, there's typically a messaging and collaboration and productivity suite, something, you know, like email and Skype for Business or Google Apps, as well as the Office product, the Google Docs, to actually generate documents and spreadsheets. And then the other two services are backup and disaster recovery, and then finally security. And obviously security has been very much at the forefront recently, but having good data protection measures, things like antivirus and spam filtering and firewalls and, you know, a host of other services is very important. So those are the core five technologies that are really common across all environments. And what IT as a service does is it allows you to create a packaged, integrated, comprehensive view of all of these technologies where they can be all managed together, they can play nicely with each other. When one gets upgraded, the other things don't break, and just gives you a very nice, comprehensive, cohesive view of the fundamental IT components of any small and mid-sized businesses organization.
And so, you know, beyond these offerings, if I have additional things that I need to run, within my system, there's possible integration with other tools as well?
Absolutely. I mean, any good IT system starts with a foundation, but just the foundation doesn't provide much value. You know, most businesses have accounting software, ERP software, creative suite type products. It's a stable platform that has all the fundamentals taken care of, and then the organization can go in and add their own line of business applications, add their own data, and run any platform, any software application on top of an IT as a service platform like Nerdio.
And is there a particular, you know, range of sizes of business that this is most suitable towards?
What we found is that the organizations in, 10 to about 400 or 500 employees generally see the most value out of a comprehensive IT as a platform. You know, for smaller companies, there are lots of, really small business-oriented tools that are not as comprehensive as a private cloud may be. And then for larger companies, they tend to have much more hybrid type of deployments where they have their own data center. They have some applications that absolutely have to stay on premise, and they don't want to move them out into the cloud. So what we found is sort of the mid to large size of the S and the low end of the M market, is where this makes the most sense and delivers the most value.
That's Vadim Vladimirsky. He's the CEO of Adar Inc. They provide the Nerdio streaming IT services. It's long been noticed that the internet provides threat actors with a ready-made research, development, and acquisition capability of a caliber formally accessible only to nation-states. This is why, FUD or no FUD, security experts fret constantly about how the bad guys are ahead of us, that the good guys are being out-innovated, and so on. Some ISIS documents recently captured in Mosul may help flesh out how this works. They indicate that the caliphate is taking an interest in adapting commercial drones as weapons. This latest bit of information warrants a look back at a 2008 Naval Research Advisory Committee study that predicted exactly this development in pretty much exactly this form. The committee, which was working on a topic posed by the U.S. Marine Corps, concluded, quote, "Credible threats to marine capabilities and gaps can be developed from imaginative combinations of commercial products. These products can be acquired via the web and distributed by the global supply network. Commercial technologies are readily adaptable into systems or devices that can threaten marine forces. The Internet functions effectively as both an R&D resource and supply chain for irregular forces throughout the world. Commercial technologies pose a real threat and enduring threat to marine forces." End quote. And we're seeing this played out almost a decade later. You can go to nrac.navy.mil for that report that remains surprisingly topical. As Russia's FSB purge continues, defense intellectuals continue to apply their game theory tools to analysis of U.S.-Russian great power competition. It's almost as if we're reliving the Cold War, but then today is Groundhog Day. And of course, if you haven't already heard by now, and we hope you've been following the story as closely as we have, early this morning, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow when he emerged from his den on Gobbler's Knob. That's six more weeks of winter. We hear it starts for us in Baltimore this weekend. Thanks a lot, Pennsylvania. And for the rest of you, happy Groundhog Day. Joining me once again is Jonathan Katz. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland and director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. Jonathan, you were one of the authors of a paper that was recently released called All Your Queries Are Belong to Us, The Power of File Injection Attacks on Searchable Encryption. Tell us about searchable encryption.
Well, searchable encryption allows a client to upload encrypted files. You can think about emails as an example, to upload these encrypted files to a server. And normally, if you just encrypted your files and uploaded them, the server would have no idea about anything stored in those files, and in particular would be unable to search for keywords in those files. But searchable encryption is a specifically modified form of encryption that makes sure that the client can still issue queries and do searches over their encrypted files without revealing too much information to the server.
So what's the status of the research when it comes to searchable encryption?
So one of the things that's been really interesting here is that if you imagine trying to leak nothing to the server while still allowing the client to do searches, it turns out to be very hard and even in some senses impossible. So what a lot of researchers have been doing over the past few years is designing systems that leak just a little bit of information, kind of you can imagine the minimal amount possible, while still allowing the client to perform searches. And what's been interesting here is that it's sort of unclear, and it's sort of been a little bit of a cat-and-mouse game to figure out the implications of that leakage. And so one of the things our paper was showing, actually, is that some of the schemes that have been proposed in the literature are actually very vulnerable, and even though they only admit a very small amount of leakage to the server, an attacker could exploit that and learn lots of information.
So let's dig in on that a little bit. What can you tell us about the attack?
Well, in our particular case, we were looking at a server who was malicious and wanted to learn information about the different search terms that were being queried by the client. And what we observed is that the server can actually act as a sender, as a legitimate sender, sending emails to the client, whether under its own name or whether just by opening up a fake email account and sending emails. And the point is that when the client then encrypts those emails and uploads them to the server, if the client ever searches for a keyword that happens to also be in one of those files, then that information is going to be leaked to the server, and that allows the server to figure out something about the query that the client is issuing. And so what we showed basically is different trade-offs in which the server could inject different number of files to the client, and without the client even noticing that anything was going on, eventually learn all of the client's search terms. So really what this shows is that we don't really have a good handle yet on what the implications of this leakage are in the real world, and obviously we need more work to try to find the right balance between efficiency of the scheme and the leakage that they have.
All right, interesting stuff. Jonathan Katz, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. you can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.